Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 11th day of the 11th month of 2022. Almost to the end of the year, at least on the calendar. Big hugs to those coming in, especially my precious mother. And welcome to those joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording of this service. Glad to have you all in fellowship. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another blessed Sabbath fellowship time. And what a privilege it is to come together unhassled with the freedom to worship God according to conscience, according to thus saith the Lord, and in it is written. What a privilege we have. So again, Sabbath blessings, dear ones. And our opening song for tonight's service is Under His Wings. Under His wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort. And there I am blessed. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Amen. And thank you, Savior, for being our strong tower, our fortress in which we can run and hide in, knowing that everything is safe under your covering. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service?
Thank you, dear Lord, under his wings for an entire week and more, and especially on the Sabbath, where we can meet with him face to face. And won't that be wonderful when we're able to do that? When we can give each other big hugs and meet with our Lord face to face and sing songs? That's going to be wonderful. And we can do it forever. That sounds wonderful too. Thank you for blessing us, for watching over us, for allowing us to come through the dangers unmolested. Thank you, dear Lord, for all of these blessings. Be with us tonight as we study your word. Send the Holy Spirit to open up our ears and that we may hear precious truths that you have for us. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being a God who answers prayers. And thank you most of all for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dearest mother. We are continuing in our study book, Prophets and Kings. We're in chapter 8, titled National Apostasy. Started with the leadership and then spread to the membership. And we left off about halfway on page 115 to the paragraph that starts out, under the blighting influence of Ahab. And where we left off last time was that Ahab had married into the family of the high priest of one of the pagan kingdoms. Married the daughter named Jezebel. Jezebel was very strong and determined in character. Ahab was weak in moral power. And so when Ahab would make a decision that Jezebel didn't like, Jezebel would speak up and berate Ahab until he bowed and submitted to her supposed wisdom and then carried out her will. And since she was of the daughter of the pagan high priest, well, she had a will to lead Ahab and the rest of Israel into a paganism. And she was very successful using Ahab to do that. But individuals still have a choice, even though they may be ruled by someone who is not of God. They have a choice to go along with the ungodly laws and commands, or to say, no, I'm going to serve God rather than men. And we're going to find that more and more being implemented in the United States and other nations around the world. And God's people are going to be forced to take a stand and to say no. Of course, without using any kind of violence, without using weapons, literal weapons, they will just use the spiritual weapons of God's grace and his will being chosen to follow. So that's where we left off And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Under the blighting influence of Ahab's rule, Israel wandered far from the living God and corrupted their ways before him. For many years, they had been losing their sense of reverence and godly fear, and now it seemed as if there were none who dared expose their lies by openly standing forth in opposition to the prevailing blasphemy. The dark shadow of apostasy covered the whole land. Images of Balaam and Ashtoreth were everywhere to be seen. Idolatrous temples and consecrated groves wherein were worshipped the works of men's hands were multiplied. The air was polluted with the smoke of the sacrifices offered to false gods. Hill and vale resounded with the drunken cries of a heathen priesthood who sacrificed to the sun, moon, and stars. What does apostasy mean? It means to follow in the ways of the heathen, of course. But basically, apostasy, amen, turning from the truth. Apostasy means abandoning the truth of what you once embraced. Abandoning the truth you once embraced. That's what apostasy means. So when you hear individuals saying, yeah, we know the church is in apostasy, they don't really understand what they're saying, because if they knew the meaning of apostasy and that the church they belong to is in apostasy, they would not want to stay there. Because they'd be admitting that they're going along with the church in abandoning the truth which they once embraced. That's why Babylon is called the apostate church. It has abandoned the truth to accept error, falsehood. They kept the same name. They're just now on the complete opposite of what they once stood for. So that's what apostasy means. And here we see that under Ahab's rule, Israel was led into open apostasy. And it was everywhere prevalent. Any questions, comments, thoughts you'd like to share, dear ones, please feel free.
I think of the new Christians that are in that state of apostasy, not that they know. They don't even have an idea what the name means, and they're attending the church. That's why the loud cry is so important.
Amen. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, not a whisper, a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. It's to be given with a trumpet, a loud cry. Amen. Any other comments or thoughts, dear ones? That was Isaiah 58:1, by the way. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Through the influence of Jezebel and her impious priests, the people were taught that the idol gods that had been set up were deities, ruling by their mystic power the elements of earth, fire, and water. You hear about earth, fire, and water today, don't you? All the bounties of heaven, the running brooks, the streams of living water, the gentle dew, the showers of rain, which refresh the earth and cause the fields to bring forth abundantly, were ascribed to the favor of Baal and Ashtoreth instead of to the giver of every good and perfect gift. The people forgot that the hills and the valleys, the streams and fountains were in the hand of the living God, that he controlled the sun, the clouds of heaven, and all the powers of nature.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Any comments or thoughts?
Sounds like the people were thoroughly mesmerized and living unto themselves, especially with all of the, can't think of the word I want to use. Anyway, the scandalous displays they had in the groves, probably brought a lot of satisfaction to some people that were living just for themselves. And so they forgot about God.
Very true. Very true. It's quite a deception, because the people were being taught that Baal, the sun god, controls the sun and other aspects of nature. And Ashtoreth, his partner, had a part within that day-to-day system. And so if the sun was too hot in one day, they were taught that, well, Baal is angry because you're not bringing him abundant gifts, or you're not spending more time praising his name, or giving more to the priesthood, or whatever it might be. And so then the people were led to believe that all they had to do was give or sacrifice or pray more, and then they'd have their God's approval. And then the heat of the day would no longer be scorching, but would be better. And so they would bring their sacrifices, they would do other works, you know, to appease their God, and then the next day it would be cooler. And so then that sort of reinforced the whole idea, well, hey, you know, I gave this extra amount, and look at the result, it's cooler today. So that just reinforced the idea that there was indeed Baal who controlled the heavens, and if he was pleased, then he would favor them with better weather. Or if there was a drought, or if the rain came during harvest, which it shouldn't, or anything of nature that was sort of out of place, they were taught that the way to get it back in place was to do some great deed or give some great offering or sacrifice some prized possession to Baal or Ashtoreth, and then everything would go back to normal. And so it was like a self-replicating encouragement and evidence of favor or disfavor just by what happened day to day in nature. And the more they gave, they would expect better returns. Well, if better returns didn't come, if it was even hotter the next day, or if the drought continued on, or the rains didn't come when they needed it to, Well, they were taught that their sacrifice wasn't sufficient, or there was they were holding out on some prized possession that they really could sacrifice, and Baal knew that, and that's why he wasn't answering their prayers. So the priesthood was getting rich, because if something didn't happen right, they just told the people they needed to give more, they needed to sacrifice something more precious. And that, of course, led to human sacrifice, the ultimate giving up or sacrificing your prized possession. But Israel was brought out of that Egyptian and Babylonian understanding of nature being living gods working in it, and were brought to the Creator. Were brought directly to the living God. And he didn't require sacrificing your most prized possessions in order to change the weather on the next day. He desired you to recognize all of his many and wonderful blessings that he had given you, separating you from Egypt, protecting you throughout the wilderness, keeping the sun from scorching you in the day, keeping the frost from freezing you at night, delivering you, and all throughout their wanderings, God was showing his love for them so that it would reach their heart and bring about love in return. So there wasn't any deed that they could do to come into God's favor. It was giving their heart to him because of the love he had shown to them that brought about his favor. So it was a completely different system than what the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Philistines and all others were working under, were living under, were practicing under. Completely different system. And here, Israel was led away from the real living God back into the mystery religion of Babylon and Egypt and Canaan. Question, it says, if the people had a personal relationship with God, do you think they would have responded differently to the false gods? Well, very true. They would have. And there were Israelites that were not going along with this apostasy of the highest leaders in the nation and in the church. They were remaining true to God. They were a small remnant, but they were remaining true. They would not bow the knee to Baal. And isn't it the same today, dear ones? The vast majority of Christianity are Baal worshipers. They think they're worshiping the real God, but they're Baal worshipers because they're worshiping on Baal's day. A lot of them are ignorant, but God's going to allow the light to shine and take away their ignorance. And then they have a choice to make. Do they continue worshiping Baal, or do they now change and worship the Lord of the Sabbath, the living God? So there's still a remnant today who are not bowing the knee to Baal, but things are going to take place in the United States and other nations of the world that will bring this remnant to the forefront. Not because they want to be known, not because, you know, they want to make a show, but because they will not bow the knee to Baal, and then that's going to set them apart from everyone else who's bowing. Just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow. And it wasn't because they wanted to be known or recognized or were proud of the fact, you know, we need to be in the limelight, but because they were following God, but all the other laws that were made were against God. And so by following God, they were breaking the law, and that made them stand out from all the others that were bowing to Baal. So it's that personal relationship that will set apart God's people from all the rest of the world. If we don't have that personal relationship with God, if we're not walking with Him on a daily basis, we're not going to stand. We'll be bowing right along with the majority. So the people forgot in Israel. They forgot that the hills and the valleys, the streams and the fountains, harvest and seasons were in the hand of the living God who controlled everything. And they started attributing these natural occurrences to natural created things. Any thoughts, comments, or questions, dear ones?
I was just thinking, what a wonderful act of love that God and Jesus made to sacrifice so that we could know a personal God.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, man, sis. I met a Hindu not long ago, a couple of days ago, and he's explaining to me that he's got five gods he worships, although there's hundreds, even millions. He's chosen five, and he told me the names. And he said, "Do you know what was yesterday?" And I said, "Did you know it was a festival?" And I thought he was asking as a Christian. My brother's birthday, November 6th, November 7th. And he said it was an eclipse, lunar eclipse. I said, "Oh, okay, yeah." And he said, "Well, we considered that as that particular god at this time of the year as he's angry. So we don't eat at a certain time, especially not at the eclipse, and we only eat vegan." And so he's describing how he goes, but what Sister Joan just brought out, and you, Brother Bob, and the spirit of prophecy, the relationship is like with the true God and the Godhead versus false gods. They're like light and the absolute light and darkness. The uncertainty, I tried to explain to him, can you see that you worship the creation, you worship creatures, but I just worship the creator? Can you see the big difference? He said, "Yeah, but we don't speak against that." Talk about an ecumenical spirit. So you see, obviously ready for it. But I had the privilege of talking to you. I tried to encourage him to take the book on five top religions, dealing one with his, that he did not take. But he did take a flyer. But, yeah, that's what I'm reminded of in this paragraph.
Amen. Well, the seed was planted, dear brother. So maybe he'll get to pondering on that. In one of my plane flights back from speaking in another country, I happened to sit next to a Hindu, and we struck up a conversation. He was very proud of the fact that he was going home after a period of time to his two daughters that were waiting for him, and he was going to offer a sacrifice to one of his gods for bringing him safely home. And I said, oh, that would be wonderful to get to see your daughters again and your wife, you know, after so long a time. And I said, can you think of any particular god or goddess in the Hindu religion that is only doing good but never doing evil? And he thought about it, and he said, well, there is one who always does good. And I said, but don't you believe in there being a balance between good and bad, yin and yang, light and darkness? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So then that God that you're talking about that only does good actually can also do evil at periods of time. He goes, well, yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. I said, okay, well, that's the difference that I see in the scriptures versus in the Hindu religion and other religions, is that the God that's brought out in the scriptures is only good 100% of the time. He is never evil. But all the other gods in Hinduism and other religions, they do both good and evil. So how can you really trust a God who can do evil some of the time when you aren't worthy of having evil done to you? And he didn't say very much. I said, now the God of the Bible only does good. So that's someone you can trust in, that's always going to be stable, always going to be the same, never is going to be arbitrary. And he didn't want to talk anymore about religion. But hey, a seed was planted. He was very clearly able to see the difference between the Hindu gods versus the God of the scriptures. So, and it's not just Hinduism that way. It's all the other pagan religions. You have to do, like with the American Indians. They had a rain dance if they wanted the God that controls the rain to bring about rain. So it was their works that brought about God's favor. Whereas with the God of heaven, all you need to do is pray to him for rain to come. And if it's his will, rain will come. You don't have to go through any long prescribed rituals in order to have him hear and answer your prayer. And what a wonderful God he is. So the people of ancient Israel here during the time of Ahab had been led so far away from the living God that they believed that the things of nature were controlled by natural things and that they needed to worship the natural things in order to have nature benefit them. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Through faithful messengers, the Lord sent repeated warnings to the apostate king and the people. But in vain were these words of reproof. In vain did the inspired messengers assert Jehovah's right to be the only God in Israel. In vain did they exalt the laws that he had entrusted to them. Captivated by the gorgeous display and the fascinating rites of idol worship, The people followed the example of the king and his court and gave themselves up to the intoxicating, degrading pleasures of his sensual worship. In their blind folly, they chose to reject God and his worship. The light so graciously given them had become darkness. The fine gold had become dim.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Any thoughts or comments or questions on this paragraph?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Roman Catholicism. It's no clumsy worship. If you've ever seen it on TV, and that, everything is very intricate. Everything's very particular. How they use it, how they do it. If you have access to EWTN, the clothes, you know, everything that she's describing here, except by the, well, the intoxicating, it is in the drink. So yeah, that's still there too. That's on the camera. But, that sensual worship connection, that's enormous. It's been well said by many, not just one, of course, but, the very idea of a man and a group of men claiming to be able to give absolution actually sanctions sin, because it's like, well, if you're there to absolute, you're there so because I'm allowed to sin. And there's the spirit of prophecy brings out two kinds of people that just about covers the whole world that the Catholic Church appeals to. And that is people who want to be saved in their sins and people that want to be saved by their merits.
Amen. So what does it mean here when it says the fine gold had become dim?
Referring to gold that is purified in the fire, God's fire of refreshing and his way of instructing people are dim because the people turned their light inward on themselves. They became very selfish.
Yeah, amen, amen. When you look at gold that is refined gold, it's very, very shiny. When light hits it, the light reflects off, and it's very shiny. It glistens. The reflection is bright. But when that brightness becomes covered over with dirt, or is tarnished, or oil, you know, dirty oil, or blackness, or whatever, soot, comes upon the surface of fine gold, it hides that reflective, bright ability. So God had brought the children of Israel through the fire, had refined them and established them in Canaan, the promised land. And as God shone light and truth upon them, they in turn reflected it all around by following. So they were reflecting the light that God was shining upon them. But now they're exchanging the light for darkness, thinking that the darkness is a brighter light. But darkness doesn't reflect. It absorbs. So then the gold here can't reflect darkness, and thus there is no light reflecting off of them. The gold has become dim because of the apostasy. because of the false covering that has been put upon the surface of the gold. So the Israelites still had the truth. They were not choosing to follow it. And thus their light had become darkness. They still called themselves Israelites, but they were no longer worshiping the true God. And isn't it the same today? You have all of these Protestant churches out there claiming to be worshiping the true God, and yet, when it comes to his law, they're breaking it. They're not holding up the law as a standard of living. They're downgrading the law, saying it was nailed to the cross and we no longer have to keep it because Christ died to set us free from keeping the law. So they're holding out darkness, thinking that it's light, and they're not reflecting the light of God to others. Just as it was with Israel. They call themselves Christians, but they're not followers of Christ.
I'm thinking of the sentence, they gave themselves up to the intoxicating, degrading pleasures of a sensual worship. That screams at you about selfishness. They wanted to follow it because they were selfish because of the degrading pleasures that it gave them.
Amen. Amen. It was part of their religion to believe that creation was brought about through Baal and Ashtoreth getting together and producing other entities in nature. So naturally in worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth, they would bring sensual worship into that service, because they believed that they were mimicking the ways of their gods in bringing about creation. And there was no better way to give them glory than to mimic how creation took place. But the God of the Bible brought about creation through speaking it into existence. So there's no way that the God of the pagans is the same as the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible created by speaking things into existence, not by procreating them into existence like the heathen gods did. So there's a vast difference between the God of the Bible and the pagan gods. And it all focuses on how creation came about. God spoke and it took place. But not according to the pagans. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
The other day I was thinking about what love is, and I came up with about 100 things that love is. And of course, love is God, who's persevering and ever present. But it's commitment, forgiveness, prayerful, trust. It's happy, sad, quiet, loud, and you can go on, cheerful, uplifting, joyful. There's so many adjectives that can say what love is, the most important one is God, because he had the most perfect love.
Amen. Amen. Now, when you look back at Creation Week, do you find anywhere where it says God created darkness? No. Where God created night? No. What you have is God creating light. And the light dispelled the darkness. So right in the very beginning, God created light to dispel the darkness. And God has been doing the same for the last 6,000 years, allowing light to shine to dispel the darkness in our hearts. All because of sin. So Israel was in apostasy. The light that God had given them, they had chosen to disregard. And now they're no longer fine gold. They're more like fool's gold. And who would like to read the last two paragraphs?
How had the glory of Israel departed? Never before had the chosen people of God fallen so low in apostasy. Of the prophets of Baal, there were 450 besides 400 prophets of the groves. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. Nothing short of the miracle-working power of God could preserve the nation from utter destruction. Israel had voluntarily separated herself from Jehovah. Yet the Lord, in compassion, still yearned after those who had been led into sin, and he was about to send to them one of the mightiest of his prophets, through whom many were to be led back to allegiance to the God of their fathers. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent. And he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9.
Amen. Any thoughts or comments or questions on this last two paragraphs? So never before had the chosen people fallen so low in apostasy. What is God going to do? Is he going to forsake his people because they're in apostasy? He could. Would he be justified in doing that? Yes. He had sent them prophet after prophet. He had sent them judgments. He had sent them encouragements, and they completely turned their back on them all. So God had already tried multiple times to reach his people and bring them back to the truth, and they spurned every one. But not all Israelites were bowing the knee to Baal. There were several thousand that remained true. So was God going to cast away his people, including these thousands that were there? We see here that nothing except the miracle working power of God could preserve the nation from being destroyed. So God had done everything he could to bring them back. But that was not sufficient. So now God sees that he has to work miracles in order to wake the people up. And God is willing to do so. How long suffering is that? How loving is that? Love never faileth. Amen. In love, he sends judgments. In love, he blesses. But here we see that judgments aren't enough. Blessings aren't enough. The only way to reach Israel, the majority, is to work a miracle to wake them up. And God is willing to do so. What a wonderful God we serve, dear ones. You know, Christ talked about basically forcing God into a corner where he has to work a miracle in order to save someone from destruction. And Christ says, that's not going to happen. They have Moses and the prophets. If that is not enough to wake them up, nothing will, even if a miracle was performed and a dead person rose in front of them. But at this point in Israel, in the history of Israel at this point we're studying here with Ahab, you don't have Moses and the prophets readily available to read. You have some of the writings that are there in the temple with the priests, but among the common people, it's not very well known. They have to accept what they're told. They can't read for themselves. And so God here is dealing with the people that are being misled because they put faith and trust in their leaders to tell them the truth, and they've been misled. So God now can work a miracle to try and break through that blind trust in unfaithful leadership. In our day and age, we have the scriptures. Not just the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets. We have the New Testament as well. So, for those who believe that God will work a miracle today to save them from utter destruction, if they've chosen to go against the law and the testimonies, they're going to be sadly mistaken and wake up in the second resurrection. But it will be too late. So we're not in the condition of the children of Israel at this time with King Ahab. We're now in the condition to where we have an overabundance of light that's readily available for us as individuals to read for ourselves. But we'll find out more what miracle working power God chose to manifest in order to preserve his people from being utterly destroyed because of their apostasy. And it's amazing, dear ones. So we hope to see you next Friday as we get into that chapter. Any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs or requests that you'd like to bring forth at this time, please go right ahead.
I would like to thank the Lord for once again bringing us through another hurricane and sparing us again. And all I can say is to God be the glory, of course, because only he is the one that protects and keeps us. So can't be silent to say thank you, Lord, for one more time closing them lions' mouths.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't even realize there was another hurricane that was coming through Florida. Praise the Lord for his divine protection indeed.
Wow. Yeah, amen. What a blessing. You've come through it. Hurricane Nicole, a feminine name, but quite destructive. I have something to report with you all. Sister Lucy, she fell over in the hospital. Oh, dear. If there's the place you want to do it, it's in the hospital, and that's what she said. She's still got her humor with her. She doesn't know why she fell over. I'm going to see her. I asked her if she'd like a visit, so I'll see her after today online. And that shall be good. Hopefully we'll be able to talk. She doesn't have a lot of concentration and focus, but she's still Lucy. She's just tired Lucy. I don't know if you recall me mentioning a man by the name. Oh, I don't have to mention his name. The man without the trachea, he had it taken out, so he has to put his fingers over here. He's got a hole. Well, I visited him Thursday. It was raining a bit, and I thought, well, you've got to travel a bit to get to him, and that's the way I would go if I was door knocking. So I didn't know if he'd be home, but he was there. And I read his document of 25 pages, small writing, and I'm going to send him this 10 top 10 discoveries related to Abraham. He was saying there's no proof for a lot of things and that, and I was helping him see that there is actually, there's so much it's not funny. Why are you laughing, James? Because it's true. Like the Muslim, you know, no Bibles, no true Bibles like today in the 7th century. You sure about that? You ever check Wikipedia out? 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd century. It's all there and beyond. But anyway, I got to talk to him, and a very interesting fellow. He's 89, and he was I was sharing to him, you know, mate, I share with a number of people, whatever their background is, you know, if Jesus is true, you have a new life in this life. You don't have to carry your sin, the burden of sin. It gives you power to overcome. And then you get eternal life, and you live without sin, suffering, sorrow, eternal youth. I said, would you like that? And then I said, before he answered that, what if it isn't true? You still gain that new life in this life, new motives, new actions, thoughts. But then if the eternal life part's not true, what do you lose? You don't lose anything. You gain in this life and then you die. So you can lose everything or gain still if it weren't true, eternal life, the end. I said, so would you want eternal life? And he said, no. I would want, you can't have good unless you've got bad. I said, you sure about that? Well, let's put that to the test. Can you have error without the truth, Brian? And he puts his finger over his to talk. And he said, no. Do you think that could be telling you something? So I hope he takes it to heart. I don't know what else to do except to send him this because he thought he had some really good evidence. But unfortunately, his book didn't have any references for the claims. But I could see just by Googling where he might have got some ideas from. The other news, so I've shared about Lucy. Oh, the swap meet. The swap meet from Sunday. It was a washout. See, I was traveling 5 a.m. to down the hill and it was raining. It was slow, but it just kept coming. You know, books don't like that. I thought I'll keep going because I saw the weather. It said, you know, 0 to 1 mil. That's not a lot, right? So it kept raining, got to the swap meet. Still raining. Yep. And I could see people were thinking they're going to start packing up. Sure enough, by 7 o'clock, they started packing up. And I thought to myself, right, this is going to be a real good whopper of a day. I wasn't going anywhere. I'm just getting started. Sun was out, 7 o'clock to 10:30. No one, only JMO and someone way over a ways selling his plants and that. And you think, well, what would be good of that? And of course, everyone was wondering when they were walking through, where's the market? Because it's all sunny in there. They called it off, you know, 100 shops. They all went home because it was pretty bad. It didn't look good. But, you know, everyone was worried then. I just thought, yeah, this is the sort of thing you'd expect. So anyway, I'm not looking to them. I'm looking to God. And 7 o'clock came, stopped raining, get the towel out, wipe all the water off the tables, then start putting the books out. It's not bad. A number of people came over. You're the only attraction. Oh, it was good. So I'm really glad. May many more come as need be. But it was a blessing. Huge because people stop and talk to you more because they haven't got other interruptions, I should say. I'm still talking to that minister over the internet, so he's still willing to tell me and share with me and converse with me why Christianity's all wrong and me sharing why the truth is all right and why that boosts Christianity. I think it was interesting, Bob. I think you said, yeah, that's right. I should tell you all because some of you weren't here on Thursday. On the prayer meeting, you're probably all aware that I had electricity issues from about January or December last year. And so I was only getting about half the electricity. Then sometimes it'd turn off altogether, but then come back on. But it was only half, and then it totally went off 6:30 on Tuesday. So I let my dear landlord know, and I thought I got to let him know, and then I got to ring him. Because he might not read the text. And then he read the text, got him on the phone, let him know. And then when I got home, he texted me like, is it on yet? And I'm thinking, I'm not home. He knows that I'm not home working. And anyway, I told him, yeah, it's 8:10 p.m. You know, I'm in the dark. Anyway, I sent a smiley face, like I'm not angry. I was expecting it, but I was trying to help him get it ready before that would happen. Didn't happen. Next day, he's fixed it by about the next day when I come home after door knocking. And I turned the kettle on, you know, the next morning. And wow, I think it was nighttime. And I noticed the light wasn't dimming. And I thought, oh, I've been praying about this. And I know you all kept it in mind because it's, you know, if you've got electricity, you should be getting the, you know, the right amount. And I realized then, yeah, oh, it's all there. So I'm really glad he didn't know that, obviously, so I had let him know. So that was such a blessing. That's so good to have, because you can do two things at once. I won't use the iron and the oven at the same time, but I know that's a no-no. So yeah, thanks for keeping things in prayer. Doesn't cease to amaze me I think the freedom you're talking about, brother, before we started today, that we have, it's just amazing to think what we can do now and that freedom being taken away, you know, under the claim of hate speech where they take away your ability to talk because, it goes against their hate toward you to not have free speech, not have freedom to believe according to the dictates of conscience. I know you really have that problem in America as well, if not first and foremost. So thanks for keeping it in prayer. I'm still talking to Felix, the one from the swap meet. He texts me an interesting question. Can you prove God exists? Can you point to him, James? And I said, so first of all, he's infinite. So if we were to see him right now in this state, we would die. But I didn't quite put it like that. But you know, Felix, yours is an old question. They did the same with Jesus. You know what people did? People believed and people disbelieved, even though one rose from the dead after 4 days. Very serious. You know, talking about that Hindu just a little earlier, I knew he would go down this track, and he did it in front of his wife, and I thought, this is great. A Hindu's actually willing to talk. So I said, do you witness to people? Oh, no, no, no. It's amazing how many people say that, including Christians. And so he said, well, James, he comes from Fiji, and I wonder if he knows in Aussie. And he said, we are law-abiding citizens. And he's just frank about on that. And I said, I understand. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments? Of course you are, by saying that. I mean, that's proof that we were created, not rocks don't give us moral law, do they? And he agreed. And then I said to him, you know, you don't have a savior in your religion, a savior from sin. You don't have one that pays, you don't have one that can justify you and allow you to live forever. As you accept him and follow him now as a second chance to be prepared for the eternal life thereafter, you don't have that. And he said, oh, well, we've all sinned. And I said, and that's biblical, but we have no excuse for it. I explained to him. Dinesh is his name. And I said, but we don't have an excuse for it. But Jesus, like us, did not sin. And he died when, you know, the wages of sin is death. So he's our savior. He took our sins for our place so we can have his righteousness, which we had no part in. So now we can wear his robe and have our past sins confessed, forsaken by the same help that he offers to everyone who will yield and give homage to him. And I think it got him thinking, like you, brother, and that's a great answer, by the way, with that Hindu you met. Got to use that one when I get the opportunity. That'd be wonderful, because he was talking like that too. I mean, it was quite apparent. He was talking about the negative and positive. I find Hindus will, if they know anything about the Bible, they'll say, oh, but didn't God do this? So they have a mistranslation of God's judgments. But it's funny, you know, we all know there has to be a judgment. They just don't like it when it comes. And then when it comes, when it's protracted until a future day, they say, where is God? But back then, you know, in the Old Testament times, gives hundreds of years. Oh, that wasn't fair of him to wipe them out. You know, even scales don't think they know what it is. But we're going to help them because we're Christians.
Amen. And the Spirit will take the seed and plant it deep in every honest heart. Can't plant it very deep in a heart that's not honest. But in an honest heart, it will be planted deep and will indeed sprout. So amen. Yeah, we'll keep them all in prayer, dear brother. Praise the Lord that your electricity is back full strength now. That must be wonderful. Saves you a lot of time, and especially in the kettle. And are you able to take hot showers now? Your water heater is working all right?
Oh, yes. Well, see, this is called frugality. You see, my hot water system, it packed up a couple of months ago. And I thought, oh, dear, how can I fix this? So I looked online, all the difference to and fro, what pros and cons, what could be the problem. I even came up with some of my own. It still wouldn't work. I thought, I only paid $200, or $180, secondhand. The guy that gave it to me, he didn't know what would be the problem. And I got secondhand, I got advice, just get a new one. Of course, the new ones are like $1,000 plus. And I thought, yeah, you get a guarantee with that, but $1,000? That's a lot of money. So I opted for a portable that runs just on the gas, where you put a two D-sized batteries in the compartment that flicks the switch to burn the gas to give you the warm water, get up to 55 degrees. It's saving me a lot of gas. Of course, I've got no hot water, so that's why I'm probably wondering, like, why is he using the kettle? So that's for, you know, shave. Of course, I could just use the heated water from the gas, but I just do it quicker with the heater, with the kettle. Now that the power's back on, it's a real blessing. So that's saving money that way. You know, it's not good for others that might be used to having warm water straight away, but it's really good. I'm very excited. And I've got to tell you, Sister Lucy does miss you all. She would be online if she had a computer, but even then she said, she really is not that great. I actually don't get to have readings with her at all. She can access the phone though, but they've really got a, you know, it's some awkward positions and she's not really concentrating. I think she has sleeping pills to help her to go to sleep. So it's probably side effects like that. But she's looking forward to a visit from me. So I'm looking forward to that too. And indeed, bro, Joel, I'm keeping that in prayer. Glad you've got a date for it.
Amen. Yeah, and please give her our love and big hugs when you're able to see her, dear brother. Yeah, speaking about getting hot water, when I was over in the Philippines and went to take a shower, some of the facilities had a device, you know, where the water comes out. It's a spigot, but it looks like a shower head where it gives you a lot of spray. But they had wires connected into the shower head that when you flipped a switch, it converted the cold water immediately into hot water. And, you know, walking into the shower and seeing this electric cord going up to the shower head, you know, you went, oh, man, I don't know if I want to take a shower with electricity going there. But it heated the water just fine. It was great. And it was instantaneous. Yeah, they didn't have a water heater to provide hot water. They had an electricity. And, of course, with 240, it almost is immediately hot. But so that may be an option, but you already got the propane or the gas water heater that's portable, which is great.
I'll certainly have to look into that, bro. I didn't really want to use gas if I could avoid it because the prices are going up. So is electricity, but our electricity is run by gas, you know, the places where they come up from the north. So I'm thinking theoretically the bulk versus a little can. Yeah, it should be cheaper with the $1 million plant, you know. I didn't think of that, actually. I don't know why I didn't think of that. That would have been better. I shall write that down when this one packs up. Hopefully it won't.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Let me interject there a little bit, James. I think your heater is what they call a heat on demand. They have something very similar here as well. it's hooked up to a propane tank, and you can get instant, as long as you have a water source and a heat source. But do you have a window in your bathroom?
I think I know why you might be asking that question, because you're not to have the gas. You're not to have the gas. You're not to have the gas.
No, James. I was asking, do you have a window, not for ventilation, for the gas? Do you have a window in your bathroom, yes or no? I can't hear him, Brother Rob. Can you help? I don't know if my sight's on and his is off, or mine is off and his is on.
He does have a window. Yeah.
Okay. The reason I was saying that is that in the event that you can't use gas, or you want to cut down on it, if you have a window and you have sunlight to that window, they have solar showers. And solar showers, you can use, put the solar shower on the outside that would heat up your water and bring the shower mechanism inside. It wouldn't be the same thing as taking a real shower. When I lived in Guyana, Venezuela, and different third world countries, I had, 300 or 400 gallon water tanks that were put up high. And in my house over there, I had PVC pipes coming down through the tank. You know, when the tank got hot, that's how we would take our hot showers. We didn't have any luxuries of anything else. But however, since I've been here, I also keep showers. And Sister Lynn, a couple of years ago, I gave her a little, it was a portable solar shower bag. It held about 5 gallons of water. And I don't know what you would consider gallons in your country, but it holds quite a bit of water, and it does get very hot. And in a pinch, you can still take a hot shower, and that doesn't mean you can't still use your gas. But if you have the days where, you know, it's coming to our winter, and I'm assuming it's coming to your spring and summer, so the temperature you'll have is better. And during those warm seasons, now in the wintertime, you can use your little on-demand with the gas. But in the summertime, you know, you have that option of utilizing the solar shower. And they have several versions of them. And like I said, you don't need that much. People don't need 30 or 40 gallons to take a shower. You know, if you learn how to conserve it and do it properly, you know, there's going to be times out here where people aren't going to have anything. I mean, I praise the Lord once again, like Sister Lynn. You know, we just got over with the hurricane. This one was a Category 1 hurricane came in. And the highest winds were about 70 miles plus sustained versus, you know, 155 or 140 miles an hour sustained. But regardless of it, it's still devastating, flooding, et cetera, and so forth. And because I live in a national forest in the woods, where Sister Lynn lives more in a town or a city, not a big city, but, you know, still a city, we have more apt to have power outages. We just got the power back on at, it was like 1:04 this afternoon, and they had projected it to be about 2 o'clock today. But praise the Lord, we got it a little bit earlier. But, you know, you learn to diversify when you live in certain situations. I have generators. The first thing I did, as soon as we heard the storms were coming, I pulled out the gas generator, prepped it up, and ready to go. However, you know, not everybody has these situations. Even my neighbors, we call over the fence. They said, hey, do you have any electricity? I said, nope, no electricity. And evidently, I talked to the people, the electric company. We don't have electric companies like in the city. We have co-ops. And they told me that it was under investigation, and they had no idea what the problem was at that particular time. However, at the end, it ended up being a tree coming down, pulling out the power lines. But once again, praise the Lord, you know, he kept us safe. you know, from Sister Lynn's house and that part town, you know, all the way to the woods, cuddled in the woods where I am. Yeah, I obviously have a lot more property and a lot of trees and things, but it was pretty neat. I mean, I cleaned up the mess and whatever, but my point is for you, Brother James, is that if you would like to look into those little solar things, I mean, I don't know what the shipping would be to your country, because it might be cheaper to buy it here and have someone ship it to you there. But these are very practical things to have. Not only for now, because, you know, who knows in the future what lies ahead. Maybe the grids will go down everywhere. And our electric grids in the United States are very old and pathetically poor. You know, they don't work that well in the first place. And I still have wires hanging. Most people in the cities have their wires underground and cleaned up and pretty. Mine, I still have a swag line from the junction box to my house, you know. But if you would like me to look into one of those, I have companies that have those, and I could give you some information on it. It might help you during, like I said, the warm seasons. It's, you know, it's an option. And this way you don't have to worry if the electric's on or the electric's off. As long as God provides the sun, you have hot water, you know. And, you know, the same thing with there's other options, lighting and so forth. If you have poor lighting, you know, these are options to have that are not massively expensive, because, you know, if they were, I wouldn't have any of them. But, you know, even your lighting, they have lighting at night, you know, during the evening time. If you need a nice room lit up, you can have your solar light charged during the day, and it would light up a room adequately for you to work in. And it really wouldn't take much effort for you to, you know, put all your lights outside. You know, put your things outside to charge up when you can. And these are just options. Anyway, once again, I praise the Lord for bringing me and my loved ones, my friends and family through the storm again. Keeping us safe, and I wish everybody a happy Sabbath. God bless.
Well, thank you, sis. Thank you for that input. Yes, I have been, you know, being in Australia, very solar orientated. I think because I don't use a lot of electricity. I was just comparing the power electricity that my landlord laughed his head off. He said his 2-month bill was 800 and something, and I hadn't paid my electricity bill for a year and a bit on purpose until he fixed it. But then I was going to pay because he brought it up, and I thought he wasn't going to fix the electricity fully because he doesn't know how to. But he evidently didn't know how to, but he has now. And it was about 200 and something. So I guess, you know, yeah, that's good. It's keeping in mind things that are going to be taken away from you in the future. I like the idea of what Brother Bob mentioned about the electricity. I didn't think like that in having hot water just based, for good reason. Oh, yeah, that's right. Just realized, yeah, that was out of the question when I moved here, the hot water with the power, because it draws too much. I do recall that. That's why we didn't get that. Yes, that's why we can't have the iron and the heater on, you know, at the same time. Those fuse boxes come in so handy. But, yeah, that's what he said. But I wonder if there's a way around that. Get a weaker, because this is not strong, the water flow and that. So get a weaker one. It might work. I think I like the sound of that. And thanks for those ideas, sis. Certainly good to keep in mind as things do get harder. Wouldn't it be great to be totally self-sufficient? Not without the Savior, of course, but to get further and further off the grid, et cetera, et cetera. I like it a lot.
You want to laugh, Brother James? There was a lady that asked me how I can possibly live the way I live in the woods, and how do I do my laundry, and how do I dry my laundry. And I told her I had a solar clothes dryer. She goes, wow, I don't know. Where can you buy those? I said, it's a rope tied from one tree to the next. And it's just that people don't, they don't think anymore. They don't use any common sense. I have rocket stoves that need no fuel but twigs, and I have nothing but, you know, twigs out on my property. So it was just funny, and I didn't do it to be sarcastic. I did it because of the fact that, you know, she's, oh, I need to have this item, and I have to have that item. And I said, well, solar clothesline works for the solar clothes dryer. Let me reemphasize, works perfect for me. And I said, it's been working for me for over 60 years. So we live in Florida. You know, 99% of the time, you know, you put your clothes outside. And I have something called a Lavario. A Lavario is a kind of a manual washing machine. You put your clothes in it, and it you can look it up online and see how it functions. And then in the meantime, you know, I take my clothes out, and short of having a wringer, I hang them on my clothesline. And in Florida, even if they were dripping dry, I mean, dripping wet, you know, a few hours, they're dry, you know. So I can't see. I haven't had a dryer in about 30 years, except for one short interim for a couple of months. But other than that, I don't bother, you know. And these are the kind of things that eventually, you know, you talk about being off the grid. Well, unfortunately or fortunately for the Sabbath keepers of the world, when you can't buy and sell and you can't do this and you can't do that, you know, a lot of people, younger folks, not like Sister Joan and the rest of us, but especially the younger folks, they're not going to think about a clothesline. They're not going to think about, you know, how can I wash my clothes? They're not going to think about, well, you know, there's herbs out in the yard I can eat if I have to. Or different things like that, how to survive, you know. And unfortunately, even if they're Sabbath keepers, if they're young, 20, 30 years old, maybe younger, you know, teenagers, if their parents, regardless if they keep the Sabbath or they've been keeping it for years, if they don't teach these kids how to do that stuff, the problem is that it's going to be an issue because they're not going to know how to survive these situations. I praise God for putting me in the hurricane situations and the no electricity situations. I have an elderly lady that lives not too far from me, and I had called her to make sure she was okay. And she's getting a little bit more acclimated because I've been talking to her about getting certain things that she could have and utilize. I mean, even if you have a charcoal pit, you can put a pot on it and boil water if you have to. But a lot of people nowadays, I don't think that they're, even if they are, you know, keeping the Sabbath, even if they are keeping with the health, I don't think that the trade of the off-grid mentality for the younger folks have been available or are available because they're still accustomed to living, you know, with the amenities that are here. So there's so many things that can be done. And I think that maybe, you know, maybe one day, you know, maybe we should have a little, maybe a get together somewhere online, you know, maybe one day or something, and kind of teach each other a few little things like this. Because you know what? The internet eventually, we all know, is going to go down. You know, only by God's grace do we have the opportunity and the blessings to be with each other now. But at least if we have little things like that, we can write notebooks and keep little notebooks. You know, we do it with Sabbath studies. We do it with biblical studies. But, you know, we should help each other out with these things. Brother Rob, you grow vegetables and fruits and things, you know, with you and your wife. You know, maybe you could teach us a little trick or the trade of what can be grown outside if it's, you know, something you can grab a weed and eat. You know, maybe we should share a little bit and get some information with each other. It would be nice because each one of us are from different countries, different towns, different states, you know, with different ages, so, and different backgrounds. And I'm quite sure we can all share something enough to accrue a little bit of a notebook of a situation that when the time comes that we don't have access to the internet, at least we'll have some of these things. What's the difference between that and having a survival guide or, you know, a Red Cross information, how to turn, you know, use a tourniquet? You know, it's the same thing, but because we are Sabbath keepers and we do eat a different way, or we do grow vegetables and we have these, not everybody has that opportunity. Some people live in the city, they don't have the same opportunities. So maybe we can, you know, interject maybe an option for them, like sprouting or different things that we've spoken about in the past. You don't, you know, if you can't grow a garden in your apartment in the city, sprout. It's fresh vegetables. You know, if you have a window that you could put it in, grow, you know, cherry tomatoes instead of tomatoes. But anyhow, I'm sorry to drag on. I just think it would be a neat idea for us to get together and kind of help each other out. And everybody has so much information to share that it would really help all of us out. Anyway, Sabbath blessings. God bless.
Hey, man, that's a good idea, dear sister. I know several years ago we held a couple meetings where we got together and shared some things, and it's about time we did it again. That would be wonderful, especially with the sprouts. They're so easy to do, and they're very nutritious. You don't need to have a fertilizer, you know.
Amen. And you know what? I've been studying how to do the plastic solo cups, you know, like the little solo cups. If you have two of them and a glass ball or a rock, and you can use them, make it like a hydroponic system, you can grow lettuce, celery, Swiss chard, all kinds of things. And you talk about fertilizer, even if you bought yourself one quart of liquid fertilizer or liquid plant food, you literally use an eyedropper, like 10 drops in a cup once in a while, or 5 drops in a cup, and you can grow a multitude of vegetables in these bins. Sweet potatoes. Right now, I have 6 sweet potatoes in a Sterilite container that the slips or the vines are massive. So when I get the opportunity to have some more buckets drilled out for me, a lot of people don't realize out of 4 or 5 sweet potatoes and you have all those slips over there, you can grow 100 pounds of potatoes, literally, you know, just out of the vines. And these are the kind of things that would really help somebody if they can get even 2 potatoes and they live in an apartment or a small place, get a 5-gallon bucket and put a couple of slips in there or the stems, and you can have about, you know, maybe 4 or 5 pounds of potatoes. It might not be a whole lot, but it's better than nothing. Like you said, the sprouting. Sprouting, I mean, is the way to go. Microgreens. Microgreens are even better. Even like, here's something that's not organic, but even the local, believe it or not, the local lentils. I have tried these out for years, and Sister Lynn can testify to it. Regular lentils, any beans you buy, pretty much. And you can sprout them and grow them into microgreens. I have taken black-eyed peas from a store and grown bushes of black-eyed peas. And bless her heart, you know, I showed Lynn how they grew up on the pods. And, you know, when they dry, you can shuck them out. But a lot of people, they're looking, oh, I can't afford to do these things because I have to have this, this, and this. But you really don't. Even the sprout, Brother Rob, you know, you can use a mason jar and a lid. You don't have to have fancy equipment, folks. You can just have small things if you know. And if we teach each other, then we definitely will have the advantage.
Amen. Amen. That sounds like a meeting in itself to deal with sprouts and how simple it is to grow and how nutritious it is to add into your diet. Yeah, and the microgreens as well. And lentils, you can buy a whole pound of lentils for right around $1. And that's a whole lot of sprouts that you can get out of that. Comment in the room says, and if I can sprout, anyone can. Amen. But we'll have to do that. We'll have to get a meeting going. We'll see what's going to be the best. Yeah. I usually kill plants, so if I can sprout, anyone can do it. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Any other? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yes, good evening and happy Sabbath. Praise God, you know, from my time and now. So I'm grateful to hear from all of you. I only put across one of the brothers in Kampala, I've been with him for the last 2 days. He has diabetes and he tried to go to the hospital in Kampala for review of what is happening. And when he took tests, it was maybe in early adverse stage. Now the leg had started getting wounds and he could not move. Last week we were there with him, passing out some tracks with him and visiting some other brethren in Kampala. But he had put on shoes. So when he came back, the leg swelled and he had some leaks of fluid from the body system. So I left Kampala last week and came back. Then when I went back to find out about how he's doing, he had gone to the hospital and those doctors were too malicious, I can say and state, because what they proposed, we opposed it. They started denouncing the wound and the leg and they were now saying they would love to cut it off. And they said, wow, that is an idea, because he said for over 15 years he has been controlling his diabetes without going to hospital. And he has been on. So we said, what do we do? So we again, with another brother, linked up with the herbal practitioner. And by yesterday he came, as I was traveling back home. So he came and he has put some medication on him. And he said he was a little bit feeling okay. And he promised he wanted to see some small change in a few days to come. By his grace, otherwise, I was petitioning, we lift him in prayers so that he gets healed and that we can still pray soon. Actually, he's one of our eldest brothers in Kampala. I, Brother Mlongo and Kenneth, we made the first home church in his home. When Brother Gary and Snipes visited in Uganda many years ago, they reached at his place. And that's where we had the first meeting with the Garys and the Snipes. So I'm requesting that you consider him in prayers. He's our dear brother and a little bit elderly, about 60 years. And he needs our support, real and prayers. The other thing is he also praise God that through internet and through the lessons we take, it has opened up many openings for us to do the work, and the work has widened. I didn't expect this, but I'm overwhelmed because very many correspondents come and asking for particular lessons, and in particular, it is opening up in a hard-to-go country, that is Sudan, more so Southern Sudan. It has been for many years, decades, under war. But I was amazed to find a brother requesting for particular topics that he would love to separate from the SDA church. And this one, this contact has been sent by one of our brethren from Freepine, Erwin, who has been contacting him and giving him messages. So when he was asking for messages, then he said, no, in Africa we have Brother Joel. Can you contact him? So we exchanged the contacts immediately online, and the brother is now excited to have messages from me. So that is, to me, very great, and praise God that the brother is taking a lot of information, a lot of messages from me, and when we are sharing pictures, I saw as if he has been established and a stronger man in SDA church, because he had the choir in the city of Juba. And these are almost Muslim countries, Christianity is less heard of. So when we see this, the internet becomes another blessing in situations where things are hard. More so, like now, in Uganda, we have some Ebola in 5 districts. And the lockdown is no contact. And this district where it has erupted, this is called the Ebola Sudan. And it has erupted in those 5 districts. And the lockdown for 21 days, no contact. Your home, your own self, which is very hard. But now you see the internet provides an avenue. When he has his phone now, you discuss freely. So it's another blessing. I now wholeheartedly accept the value of internet when it works, though it may be dangerous when it fails, and also when bloggers come in with their hopeless messages. So praise the Lord that we are able to have this privilege and the advantage to have contacts worldwide. Then finally, our kids are coming back, and maybe the government has been forced to make early close of term. So pray for us that they don't come with Ebola if they are away from us, because in Africa or in Uganda, we don't have homeschooling like Sister Michelle was asking. Very few cases of homeschooling. When the government tried to introduce it, it became very hard, because it entailed now government providing iPads and smaller solar panels for charging, maybe providing screens and maybe analog screens, which has been too expensive, and it has failed, and it's now silence. Now homeschooling, no way. We now have to take them out. For them, one reason is one, to learn the official language, which is English, and also to have better approaches to systems of learning for life. So, happy Sabbath. We are grateful. I don't know whether Brother Joseph has come back from Kenya, where he visited last month. I think he has spent like 1.5 months in Kenya. He had gone there for a camp meeting. But unfortunately, when I warned him that don't go to that church because it has moved off from the doctrinal practice, they don't want to listen from Ellen G. White doctrine, and they were saying, oh, that is, Ellen G. White is a false prophet. He said, wow, what? I will not come to your meeting. Now, when I warned Joseph, he decided himself to go and witness. When he went there for the first day, as he preached about Ellen White, those people could not agree with him. So he had to look for another contact who was a brother, and he was swept to that contact, and he avoided their camp meeting. So pray for him if he had come back from Kenya, well, because I've not also heard from him. Otherwise, there's great work, there's great opening for us. Pray that you support us, and finally for us as ministers, we have organized a crusade or an effort for 2 weeks to close this year and see the hardship and the outcomes of what the Lord will provide and impress people upon their hearts as we talk to them. We are starting by 4th December for 2 weeks. we call it a grastrology in the sense that we want to live there when there's a church planted, when our people can have an area where they can meet for fellowship. So, as one person can take over the evening, the early morning hours, we shall be giving out tracts and booklets. However, I will probably manage to print a few tracts. I will not go for booklets, but we pray that if available means are available to, for us, then you can help and send that we provide some tracts. We shall be fully there for 2 weeks from forth. Then finally, after that, I have to travel to Migori for the closer camp meeting that will be in the Christmas season. For us, we should just move out and it's our petition and prayer that the Lord provides us means and no pandemics for lockdowns and so on, so that we are able to accomplish what we can. May the good Lord bless you all. Thank you, Brother Bob, for endeavoring to see that the internet is there on for us. Like today, we're trying to find out the time to fix. Eventually, you came in late, I can say, from the normal timing. Otherwise, God bless you. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. God bless and happy Sabbath to you too, dear brother. And we'll be keeping the upcoming effort in our prayers, as well as other things that you mentioned, dear brother. We'll be keeping them in prayer as well. And I'm sure the Lord had a hand in getting the internet to go worldwide, even though efforts are being made to try and rein it in. The truth is still able to have free access to so many in so many different places. And praise God for prophecy. Knowledge is indeed increasing. Men are running to and fro, and women too, in spreading the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And every eye will be able, or not every eye, but every heart will be able to be reached with the message before probation closes. And we're a day closer to that happening. Comment in the room, it says, right now, COP27 in Egypt is the Pope's agenda for Sunday law. Well, I haven't heard of that, but we shall see what comes out. Well, thank you for that. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, that you'd like to share, testimonies or songs that you'd like to request, please feel free.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Now here's a very short song. He's able, he's able, I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able, I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able, I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Amen. Carry us through. What a Savior we have, dear ones. It's been a wonderful service. Thank you so much for your participation, your comments and thoughts and questions and insights and testimonies. Looking forward to more to come. It is getting a bit late, especially for our dear brother Dick and sister Susan and Lynn and Dodd and those on the East Coast. And appreciate you you being with us tonight. And it's now time for closing prayer, and who would like to offer that? Yeah, James is spoiled this morning there. Yeah, same with Brother Joel. But who would like to give our closing prayer?
Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us another week on this earth, and indeed, like has been said, that we might have more testimonies that would speak of your providence not being worked against by us, by any one of us, that we might receive more of the blessings of thy presence and thy workings in our heart and in our life, that the Holy Spirit will be a constant abiding presence and guide and comfort to protect us from ourselves, to have all the influence of the heavenly angels to keep back the evil who would love the worst to come out of us, to be like them instead of like Jesus. We know that the evil angels and also those who are led by them, whether they're aware of it or not, there's one thing that they all agree on, in hating Jesus Christ and his righteousness, but just about everything else they're in disagreement about. We thank you, Jesus, for showing us light, because it showed us our darkness. Continue to do that in our life. We want more light, because we know, like the gold figure was brought out, if it's pure, if it's true, it will shine brighter. And others will have understanding and knowledge what they can do as individuals as well with this light and knowledge when it's presented to them wisely. Indeed, help us do that very thing so that others will make decisions, can have the opportunity to make decisions that will help them avoid things that they're going to regret in following something else, that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the way thereof, the end thereof is the way of death. We thank you for taking care again of our dear sisters in the road, in the track of the hurricane, and allowing us to hear this. I certainly did not know that it's happening. I know it's a regular event, God, and I pray none of us take for granted your care and think ourselves, because we're Christians as well, the temptation that a prayerful, studious, reading in thy character in the book of books, that we'll put it off any day, thinking to remember the in the temporal area with food when we go without. we are weaker. We, depending on how long it is, and we are grateful that you have given us these warnings, not because of that's them, this is now, but because we have the same very human natures. Elijah, which we're going to be reading about, we're so looking forward to that, but the current story we've been looking at in Prophets and Kings have the same very human natures. So it's all applicable and all the more because we live some 3,000 years removed from those events of a history with the sacred history recorded for us to learn from and be profited thereby with the divine aid that you hold out to us. Please continue to be with our dear brother Joel and others to know how to spend the time wisely with the restrictions that have been placed on them, and especially in knowing how to go about the issue of children and school and educating them, that your wisdom may continue to prevail in their lives under awkward circumstances. And especially too, our brother with the diabetes, who's been told that he requires amputation, that it will not come to that, that anything that can be done, that would be, if we had that facing us, if we had that, whatever could be done for him would be done while it can be done. We know it's short in terms of having such things said to us. And we thank you that there are ways and means available, even if God himself has to send all the angels in heaven to provide that help in a physical way, just like in the salvational moral way. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to wonder if you're going to answer our prayers when it has to do with our salvation. Help to overcome sin in all its various ways that it comes about on us, and all places and times and geographically speaking, simultaneously you are seeking by the Holy Spirit to save us from ourselves by abiding in you. Bless our brothers and sisters as they head to bed and they get a real good night's sleep, especially those of them that have stayed up for us to have their presence and their participation tonight, for them that they will get that extra rest so that they are and able to have a very fulfilling Sabbath day. And thank you for taking care of your children all around the world who are looking to you, Jesus, as the author and finisher of the faith, once delivered to the saints for the whole world to have presented. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.